So as Matt said, this bill was signed by President Obama December 4th. It's first long-term bill in 10 years, which is hard to believe. I've been in the business for 24. I never thought we'd go that long without having steady funding. So finally we do, so thank God. 5 years, actually, of steady funding, finally giving state and local governments the ability to plan and invest in our infrastructure. The act authorizes $305 billion. That's DOT-wide. So that's all of us. That's for all modes from 2016 to 2020. It includes a $70 billion transfer from the general fund, which is going to hopefully keep our highway trust fund solvent throughout the life of this bill. As you can see, here's the breakdown by modes. A lot of people didn't realize that the FAST Act included all of USDOT modes. They thought it was FTA and FHWA, but it's actually all of us, including FRA. So I just wanted to show you the numbers. I'm not going to read. You can see it for yourself. But the rest of the presentation, I'm just going to focus on highways. So the act authorizes $226 billion over 5 years for highways, with an average annual funding that's about 10% above the FY15 enacted levels. It's $225 billion in contract authority and $1.1 billion that's subject to annual appropriations. For those of you who don't know how the federal aid program works, we have contract authority within our authorization acts. Each year, the appropriators give us what we call obligation limitation. It's typically 95 to 97% of what the contract authority is. So right now, New Jersey is an over $1 billion program if you look on the books. But in reality, the obligation limitation is about $950 million. So I just want to make sure everybody's clear on that. The FAST Act builds on the program structure of MAP 21. It adds some new programs, a freight formula program for the first time, and a competitive grant program for nationally significant freight and highway projects. Accelerating project delivery is still the core of this bill, just as MAP 21 was. You won't see this on the slides because I blacked them out. The reason being is we don't have any federally recognized Native American tribes. But it also, this act also allows for self-governance of these tribes if they choose to. Is something new. The good thing about this bill is it actually grows 2% each year. This is something that we haven't seen before in long-term bills. Typically, it's steady state funding for those 5 years, but this one actually increases 2% each year. So you can see for yourself, this year's $43 billion for highways. In 2020, it's going to be $47 billion. So, does everybody know what an apportionment is? Okay. Before I start, another federal highway idiosyncrasy. We don't do lump sum grants. The DOT is apportioned or given certain, I hate to use this term, flavors of money, different pots that have different eligibilities. So what I'm going to go through is the different formulas that are apportioned in this act. right. The average annual funding for the abortion program, like I said, is 9.8% higher than the 15 level. However, among the abortion categories, the growth is uneven. The largest increase of 15% in the existing abortion programs went to the Surface Transportation Program, which we renamed, and I'm going to try not to use acronyms. Thank you, sir. Try not to use acronyms. It used to be the STP program, Surface Transportation Program. Now it's called the Surface Transportation Block Grant Program. And it's the new sole source for the Transportation Alternatives Program and the Recreational Trail Programs. It's a takedown. An important component in the growth of the abortion program is the new National Highway Freight Program. Everybody loves a pie chart. And here one is. The abortion program, those are with funding distributed by a formula. And don't ask me to go into what goes into the formula, because each one of the abortion programs has its own formula. Northrid, what's the lab in Tennessee? We have scientists who do the apportionment calculations at Northridge Labs. So it's pretty complicated what goes in. There's, you know, between 20 and 25 different elements that go into each one of the apportionments to decide how much a state's going to get in that certain type of money. So the apportion programs, those with funding distributed in the statutory formula, constitute 92% of the highway funding, slightly higher than under MAP 21. The other 8% is the discretionary program, which we'll talk about. And as under MAP 21, the National Highway Performance Program and the Surface Transportation Block Grant Fund account is really the preponderance of the funding. The STBG program, still not used to that, is really the most flexible pot of money that we have. It's where your Transportation Alternatives Program comes from, where the Rec Trails comes from, where your we'll get into the breakdowns in a second. I got later in the slides. So I'm going to try to stick to what's new. So under the National Highway Performance Program, there's some new eligibilities. One is that you're now allowed to use federal funds to pay for the subsidy and administrative costs of the TIFIA credit loans. TIFIA is a program within USDOT that loans out a considerable amount of money for large projects. Tappan Zee is one. Gothels is another that's using that. FAST Act also provides eligibility for vehicle-to-infrastructure communication, which you're going to be seeing a lot more of that in the very near future. Another new eligibility is the reconstruction, resurfacing, restoration, rehabilitation, and preservation of non-NHS bridges if the bridge is on the federal aid system. The Surface Transportation Block Grant Program has some new eligibilities as well. And this is important. It's something that, you know, if asked what I thought was one of the better things that they put into the bill, it allows the creation and operation of a state office to assist in the design, the implementation, and the oversight of public-private partnerships eligible to receive federal highway funds and FTA funds, and it allows for a stipend to be paid to the unsuccessful private bidders to offset the proposal costs. That's big. That's going to get a lot more public involvement in our infrastructure, just knowing that it won't be a waste for them to put together these applications or project proposals, that they'll get paid for it. So something that we've never allowed before. The sub-allocation for New Jersey, our National Highway Performance Program, is $538 million this year. The Surface Transportation Block Grant Program is $270 million. But after takedowns, the any area money, or the really flexible money, is $246 million. One more thing I want to add. It's not on this slide, but I think it's very important. The Transportation Alternative Program replaced our Transportation Enhancement. That's no longer around. The Enhancement Program, I'm going to be candid, was off the tracks with how some of the funding was used around the country. There's a provision now in the FAST Act that all of the transportation alternative projects have to be treated like they're inside the right-of-way and a regular federal aid project, to include Davis-Bacon and the federal aid procurement standards. That's big. It's going to put some controls where we needed them. So another good thing about this bill, if you ask me, being an old auditor. I had spoke about the set-asides. Simply labeled, the STP set-asides in law replaces TAP, but functionally it continues. All funds come from a set-aside from the STBG program versus where it used to all come from a pull down from all of the apportion programs. That's why the STP program is the largest one. The transportation alternative projects, excluding projects funded by the recreational trails, must be treated as projects on the federal aid highway. I wanted to reiterate that. The congestion mitigation and air quality program, or CMAQ, as you know it, has some new eligibilities. Specifically, eligibilities for vehicle to infrastructure, communication equipment, adds projects to reduce emissions from port-related equipment and vehicles, which is good, adds an exception from the PM 2.5, or the particulate matter 2.5, I don't want to get technical with you, priority set aside for states, but we don't qualify for that, so I probably shouldn't have even brought it up. The Highway Safety Improvement Program, something that I don't particularly like about this act, limits the eligibilities to the type of activities that are outlined in law. I didn't want to go into all of them. But what I find disappointing is it excludes most behavioral projects. I guess you can see on my face how I feel about that. It adds eligibility for V2I communication equipment and for pedestrian safety improvements. Some other changes that aren't on that slide is eligibilities for pedestrian hybrid beacons and roadway improvements that provide separation between pedestrians and motorized vehicles. That's good, considering we are a pedestrian fatality state, so we're being monitored. So, on to freight. Never thought I would be talking about this in the federal aid program, but I'm excited about it. There's two new programs that fund freight projects, an expanded freight network and more clearly multimodal freight policy is what they were shooting for with this. All right. So, under the FAST Act, Federal Highway will portion an average of $1.2 billion per year for the National Highway Freight Program. It's focused on improving the efficient movement of freight on the National Highway Freight Network. For New Jersey, it's $29 million this year. Eligible activities include construction, operational improvement, freight planning, and performance measurement. Another thing that I like about this bill is it brought in everything that we started in MAP 21. It's continuing forward. They're just now some of your planning efforts to get to the performance goals are eligible activities so we can fund them. This freight program is really highway focused. A maximum of 10% of the state's freight funds may be used for public or private freight rail, water facilities, including ports, and intermodal facilities, but it is limited to only 10%. The rest is highway use. Another thing that I know Mary Kay is aware of, and we talked about it yesterday at the collaboration meeting, beginning 2018, every state must have a comprehensive freight plan to continue to receive these apportionments. New Jersey DOT, I'll let you know, has a consultant that has already started work on it. We're going to be there. The MPOs have already done a lot of the heavy lifting, so thank you to those in here from the MPOs. But we'll have it done, so we won't lose out any of those funds. Now, something interesting, and this is run out of the Office of the Secretary, out of OST, is still going through some rulemaking on the evaluation criteria. So before you see any notices of funding availability, we have to go through a rulemaking first. Like I said, this isn't a federal highway. This is a USDOT grant program. So $4.5 billion over 5 years for large, and when I say large, generally costing at least $100 million or 30% of the state's apportionment for highway projects on the national highway system and freight projects. The awards may be grants or TIFIA loans. Some of the eligible projects would be nationally significant freight and highway projects, including highway freight projects on National Highway Freight System, rail and highway grade crossing or grade separation projects, highway or bridge projects on National Highway System, including projects that increase interstate capacity, which is new, up to $500 million over 5 years for intermodal water, including ports, rail freight projects that make a significant improvement to the freight movement on the highway system. Eligible applicants, well, obviously a state, an MPO could apply, local governments could apply, special purpose districts or public authorities, i.e., NY or authority, federal land management agencies, but that would be jointly with a state. What we know right now is the application process is going to be assigned to the National Surface Transportation and Innovative Finance Bureau, which it does not exist at this time. It's being developed. The secretary selects projects and submits a list with justifications to the authorizing committees that would be in the legislature, U.S. DOT makes the grant enact, they've got 60 days to disapprove the project, and if the legislature doesn't disapprove it and the secretary wants it, it's going through. At least that's how it's written right now. There'll be a set aside. At least 25% of these grants per year must be reserved for rural projects. Pardon me. And 10% annually must be reserved for projects that don't meet the usual $100 million or other cost threshold. But still, there's a minimum grant limit of $5 million for those rural projects. So this is something extremely new. And when we get to the Q&As, please don't ask me a lot of questions because I won't be able to answer them. Okay. Some of the other freight provisions. Freight policy goals. Still have a rulemaking to do for that. Requires a national strategic plan. USDOT is going to have to put together. And like I mentioned, states are going to have their own state freight plans. It highly encourages states to form a freight advisory committee, which we have. Right now, we've designated the National Multimodal Freight Network. It's all of the National Highway Freight Network, all Class 1 railroads, public ports, with total trade of over 200 million short tons. The Great Lakes, St. Lawrence Seaway, you guys don't care about that. The top 50 U.S. airports. And strategic freight assets as designated by the Secretary, which she has not done yet. Right now, there's roughly 41,000 miles on this network. We will be asking the DOT and the MPOs to identify their critical rural freight corridors and their critical urban freight corridors. And that request will be coming out very soon to the DOT, and in turn, DOT will turn to the MPOs and ask for that information. So, heads up. Speaking of Rutgers. All right. We continued with the research and development funding. It increased by $10 million per year, but $20 million of it is earmarked for grants to states that demonstrate user-based alternative revenue mechanisms or user fee structure to maintain long-term solvency of the Highway Trust Fund. I'll give you an example. In Oregon, they're testing it's like a chip they put in your car that monitors how many miles you drive, and then they tax you on that. Those are the type of ideas that the USDOT is looking for to keep the Highway Trust Fund afloat. Gas tax isn't going to make it. There's no will in Congress right now to raise the gas tax. So we're actually giving money or grants to states who try different alternatives. So something to think about, something for the universities to think about. Got $10 million a year to first develop, use, and maintain various data sets and provide data analysis tools that will assist state and MPO performance management activities. Sounds like another good research project. Plus a new program, the Advanced Transportation and Congestion Management Technologies Deployment. Ooh, that's a mouthful. funded by a combined set aside of $60 million per year from the Highway R&D and the DIP and the ITS research. So, as you can see, there's quite a lot of money for research. And now for planning, which most of got my planners right next to me. Thank you for coming. Map 21 set out the process for performance-based planning and continues the theme of accelerating project delivery. Like I said, that's one of the things that I really love about this, is they didn't discount what we had done and all the work that we had done with Map 21 and the rulemakings that are going on right now. They've kept all of that. And it still focuses very heavily on efficient coordination and project delivery processes. Let's get them out the door quicker. And that includes NEPA. So, some of the new things, there's more consultation and more participation by the MPOs. It enables participation of public ports and private transportation providers. Encourages MPOs to consult with other types of planning activities. Public ports, private transportation, and that would be like intercity buses, carpools, are to be included in the planning process. It encourages MPOs to consult with officials of other types of planning activities, including tourism and natural disaster risk reduction. And RESF1 is actually in the room right now. It provides transit providers, representatives with equal authority in the planning process now. It requires tips and steps and long-range plans to include facilities that support intercity transportation, i.e. intercity buses. Planning process shall consider projects and strategies to improve resiliency and reliability of transportation system, to mitigate stormwater, and to enhance travel and tourism. Long-range state plan must describe performance measures and targets used in assessing the performance of the transportation system. That came from Map 21. And here's the hammer. If a state fails to meet or make significant progress towards meeting those goals in its freight performance targets within 2 years of the target establishment, the next performance report must include a description of the corrective actions that the state will take to achieve those, which would probably mean redirecting more funds to those freight activities. So, this act exempts, it might sound funny, but it's going to help, especially in New Jersey with the mid-century bridges. It's common mid-century bridges are exempt under 4F. Authorizes taking of nesting swallows for at-risk bridges until the Department of Interior takes a regulatory action to establish an alternate procedure. You'd be amazed how often projects are stopped because of an endangered species or a bird habitat. Well, it's not going to be stopped for the swallows now for a while. It refines existing project delivery provisions. It narrows the concurrence requirements for using planning products in NEPA. It establishes a pilot for NEPA assumption of states to substitute substantially similar environmental laws for NEPA with the concurrence of the the Council on Environmental Quality. It's a council that the president has. I doubt very seriously New Jersey's going to do that. Texas has assumed NEPA responsibility. California has. I think it's just two right now. I think Florida is thinking about it. That's a lot to take on, though. I doubt we'll see that here. To continue, now the FAST Act requires a schedule to be part of a project coordination plan. It requires the creation of a checklist of potentially affected environmental resources, requires DOT response to a request from a project sponsor to initiate a project, adds some new specific time frames for environmental notices and reviews. For example, it now requires that participating agencies must be invited within 45 days. Prior to the FAST Act, there was no time frame to bring everybody in the room. Directs DOT us to establish an online public access similar to the existing permitting dashboard. I don't know if you guys are familiar with that. It's for the high level, the president's dashboard. We've got two projects in this region that's on the dashboard. Gothels and Tappan Zee are both on his dashboard. Finally, and we've done this to a great extent, we've delegated a lot of the project oversight to the DOT. We're strictly a risk-based and stewardship organization where we used to have full oversight over some projects. We pick and choose certain areas now where we provide oversight, and we do very thorough risk assessments every year, and that's how we decide where we're going to focus our attention, at least in New Jersey. And all the other divisions. But for us, we lost, quite a few people. So we've really had to turn over a lot of the oversight to the DOT, including the local programs. All right. Just some other I'm going to blow through these. Here's some other ones. New eligibilities for transit-oriented development, capitalizing rural projects fund in a state infrastructure bank, something we don't have, which would be a good idea. It lowers the minimum cost of $10 million for local government applicants. For TIFIA is now eligible under our National Highway Program and under the STP program and under the Nationally Significant Freight. For the ferry boats, the formula now gives more weight to the number of ferry passengers. After 4 years, Federal Highway withdraws unobligated ferry boat program funds and redistributes them to other eligible recipients. I think we have one ferry boat. HOV and tolling. They cleaned up some of the statutory language. It requires the same treatment on certain toll facilities for over-the-road buses and transit buses. They must consult with the MPO on toll placement and the amount for hot lanes on interstate facilities within an MPO area. Sets a time limit for the applicant to move from provisionally approved application to a complete application that meets all program requirements, a completed environmental review and permitting process, and executed toll agreement with the secretary. Before we had you would have to, I'm not going to go in time. We have enough toll facilities here. I don't see them tolling any other ones. That one, I know I'm running. All right. So I guess I'm going to end there. The rest of it is pretty technical. It's about new design elements within the program. If you guys have some questions. This whole PowerPoint is going to be made available. There's slides that I didn't go over that are more technical. but it will be made available for you guys to read them. So with that, I'd like to thank you for your attention, and I look forward to the discussion later.